Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. Today, we have an author interview with one of my favorite debut authors of 2019, Skye McDonald. Skye has published two books in the Antebell series, Not Suitable for Work and Off the Rocker. These books are steamy romance set in Nashville, and they're so good. Today's interview, we chat about Skye's writing process, why she decided to set her books in Nashville, and of course, around the book recommendations. Now let's get to the show. Hi, Skye. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a debut author as of September, self-published, and in my day-to-day life, I'm also an English teacher, high school English teacher, and I also am a spin instructor, so an indoor cycling instructor. I live in Brooklyn, New York, although I am born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee, which is where all my books are set. And no, but I live up here in Brooklyn with my corgi. And I have for quite some time. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
I love it. So where do you teach spin? So maybe I take a class.
Well, I teach spin at New York Sports Club.
Okay.
So I kind of sub around the city. I have one regular class. But yeah, I work for New York Sports Club up here. So yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've been teaching spin for 10 years now.
Oh, yeah? Like,
yeah.
Where do you go?
I go to Swerve. I tried Soul Cycle. I hated it.
Uh-huh.
I've done Psych and then Monster Cycle, but I think this is
okay. Too
consistently Swerve, which is a team-based spins studio. So you're split into different teams and you're competing based on
numbers. Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, and you ride to the beat of the music. But it's not as dancey as, you know, you're sitting on the chair, on the chair. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not like Soul Cycle where you're just like up in the chair moving, dancing around. Like, I felt like that was too
much. Yeah.
So.
I understand. Yeah, mine's a pretty traditional, like, the spin move. So you don't do as much of the dancing either. But I'm interested in that, like, group competition thing. That sounds like good fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's great for team.
Yeah.
And they give you the stats so you know you can compete with yourself as well as we compete with the team. So it's kind of fun. Yeah. So.
That is fun. I think in the new year, I'm going to be trying silks, the aerial acrobatics. Like, it's kind of a hybrid between acrobatics and climbing. And I do climb, so I'm kind of excited to try this silks business. That should be fun. Or maybe doing that in Brooklyn, too.
Yeah, that should be fine. There's a lot.
Yeah.
I think New York is great for fitness. I find myself like trying different things. Like, there's rowing, there's high impact intensity, there's a little bit of everything.
Agree.
Yeah.
Plus, I can just run in the park because I live very close to Prospect. So, beautiful run right there.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, me too.
So now let's talk about your writing. So what inspired you to become a writer?
That's a fun question because I don't know that I have a straight answer to it. I guess the shortest answer is I had a story in my head and I wanted to tell it. So I had this idea of an office where there were two desks just facing each other and there was nothing else in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was younger, I had written some stories. So like I had basic ideas for a few characters, such as like the idea of a girl or a woman who moved down south from a flashy life in New York and hated it. It just kind of all came together one day and I sat down and started writing it, and Not Suitable for Work was born. But as I was writing that, all the side characters that were in the story kind of started whispering their story to me. And then before I knew it, I had this multiple book series of standalone stories all sort of tied around this central group of people. So I don't know that I can't really say that I like sat down and was like, I will be a writer, but because I'd always been, you know, a teacher, but just there and it just came out. So that is the beginning of my writing journey. Yeah.
I love it. And now I have a question. Because you're a romance teacher or rom-coms, were you always a romance reader or did you, was this late in life or you know?
Oh gosh. No, I loved when I was a teen, I loved like teen style love stories. So I might date myself a little bit, but like I loved Sweet Valley High and like stories like that, that were geared for teens. But growing up, my mother did not read, but my mother did not really read romance novels at all or anything. And then I guess I got into the genre. I will say Fifty Shades was my gateway. I was curious. I read it. But then I really got into it with like Beautiful Bastard by Christina Lauren. That was definitely one that hooked me deeply into this genre. That was definitely like not too young in life, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I was a late bloomer. I just had a conversation about this. Me, like, I grew up reading Sweet Valley High and the love stories. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah.
You were like, they're just, like, love stories. Or I don't know the titles, but they're just love stories. And then I stopped reading. I think I read Chick Lit for most of the 2000s. And it wasn't until 2016.
Okay.
I read Fifty Shades because everyone was reading Fifty Shades, but it wasn't like anything. Like, I didn't realize there was a genre with that. I was like, oh, just like everyone's reading that. And it wasn't until 2016 that I started reading New Adult, and I discovered Christina Lauren, and I loved the Beautiful Bastard series. That was actually a gateway.
Hey,
it was just
cheers.
Like, it's so good. Yeah, it was so good.
It's so
like,
good. I know.
I love the early work. It's like so amazing. The early work is TV, it's chemistry, there's like 14 books, so there's enough for you to go around. So.
Exactly. No, I was deep into the Beautiful series. I think I tore through all of them. I mean, Beautiful Player is my favorite because Will, I just love.
Yes!
Loved him. Oh my
so
God.
Good.
Love. And then I did the Wild Seasons, the Sweet Filthy Boy, and those were fun too. Really enjoyed them. So yeah, but that's cool. Cheers to Christina Lauren being the gate, the definite open of the door. I love that.
It really did. And now I've been reading like there's no tomorrow.
So. Oh yeah, totally.
So you're a self-published author. So what was your journey to get your book published?
Oh boy. Okay. That's a big question. So after I had drafted all of these books, because like I said, they just kept coming out and I kept drafting them, and somebody who was close to me eventually said, you know, either you're going to do something with them or it's just a hobby. And so I kind of took that to heart and went on the journey to get an agent, the querying journey, if you will. And I did. So I was agented back in the winter of 2018, did some massive revisions based on some great feedback from my agent, was not suitable for work. And I feel really made the book all it could be. And then went out on submission and kept getting feedback from pretty much all the publishers. Like, I mean, I'm not going to say 100% gave the same feedback, but the feedback that I got was really good story, really well written path. Without any kind of like, it was a difficult thing to accept because there was no like, oh, if you did this, it could. It was just good work. Really read it quickly. No. So after that, after about a year and a half, actually, out on submission, and having gotten off the record, ready to go at the same time, sort of trying to keep things in the wings, my agent and I parted ways. We felt like we had given it a fair go and couldn't do much more. So we parted ways, and I had to decide if I was going to make the final push and give it self-publishing go, and did. So So this summer I started my sole proprietorship of Antebell Books and went about publishing the Antebell series. So book one, Not Suitable for Work, was born in September. And then, of course, Off the Record, book two was born a week ago. So that was last Tuesday. So yeah, that is my publishing journey. Fairly long one. And in between, I was going through a lot of massive life changes as well. So it's really been a lesson in patience and goal setting and really kind of evaluating what you really want and why you're really trying to do something. It's taught me a lot about myself. So I have no regrets, but it has been a long journey.
Mm-hmm. I think this little thing about publishing is like it's a long journey just to get there, because you first have to write the book and you go through the revisions and then you go through the process of trying to get traditional published and even self-publishing. Mm-hmm. Like it takes time, like, you know, mm-hmm. you have all these different pieces that are coming together. If you do traditional publish, then you have to go through the timeline for them. But if you do self-publishing, then you also have to get the marketing, the publicity, and, you know, the work
exactly
of the book. So just
exactly,
there's no right way, there's no better way. It's just basically, it's, you know, whatever way that you can get your books to be seen by an audience. So
precisely,
that's awesome. So let's talk about your mm-hmm. writing. Do you follow an outline, or do you see where the story leads you?
I'm being a pantser. I'm a total pantser. I do not outline my stories. Sometimes I don't even start with the beginning of the story. If I have like a scene in my mind, I'll draft out the scene, just to have that, and then figure out like, okay, what kind of story is built around this? I don't plot it. I've never even tried, and I'm not sure. Like, I don't know, maybe it would be like this brilliant thing. I'd be like, oh, I've never done this before. But it's always just been that I've had like some sort of scenario or a basic idea in my mind. I just kind of went with it. So that definitely does seem to be my style.
I love it. So how do you organize yourself as a writer? How do you keep track of the ideas, inspirations, and characters?
I have a ton of Word documents that have all kinds of different scraps and notes in them stored on my computer. But I also have a couple of different journals, paper journals that I keep ideas. Like occasionally I'll just write out like a scene, or I'll start jotting notes on a character, like a character profile there. That's a good place. Since all my stories are interconnected, it's good to have like almost, if you will, a family tree of it, which is actually something I'm really hoping I can have somebody design at some point as the stories to go deeper into the series. It's just nice to kind of have a visual of like who knows who, how. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I keep those are handwritten. And then just, I have tons of partial ideas, scraps, different revision pieces. I won't delete like any file. I have all my old iterations. I have side content that never got put into the books. You know, anything that came to me, it's always there just in case it needs to come out again.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that can be potential deleted scenes or bonus content. So,
right.
So,
mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So do you share your work along the way, or do you wait until it's complete or for others to read?
That's a kind of in between. I have one very dear friend, her name is Sarani, but she has read all of my stories, and they have been in some of the roughest form. So they will be complete. Like I have never like shared part of a story or shared it. Well, that's not quite too true. I guess when I first started writing, my then husband, I would read him like chapters as I did it. So I guess what I'm saying now, that's slightly untrue, but for the most part, no, I'll wait until I have a completed story. But yeah, it's not many people who see the very early drafts, I'll say that much. I love having critique partners and feedback, beta readers. That's been some of the most valuable experience in terms of really getting the stories to come together. I absolutely adore the people I work with in terms of giving me feedback and criticism. I think that's so important.
Yeah, I think that's like so helpful just to get the feedback and, you know, to see where the story leads you or to see how a partner can grow or can be like, oh, you can try this or you can try that. So that's exciting.
Exactly. There was there was a part of off the record that I'm not going to say anything because it's going to kind of spoil it, but the main character, the male main character of Nick, he was kind of in his dark place. And the things he was doing, I thought it was interesting. But one of my, both my agent and at the time, and then one of my critique partners, Sarah Smith, they were like, when they read the draft of it, they were both like, no, Nick, no, you can't do that. And so I was like, all right, I'll change it. I hear you. Message received, ladies. So yeah, super important, I think, to get that kind of balance.
So let's talk about the Antebell series. Okay. You mentioned the source of inspiration and where the story started, but the series is set in Nashville. And I'm curious to see, so you live in Brooklyn and the main character live in New York City. So I was curious to see why you set the series in Nashville as opposed to in New York City. It's kind of like an interesting setting.
That's true. You know, first of all, yeah, it's interesting because I think a lot of stories are set in New York, or New York always becomes this like ideal spot, especially in like books and movies. And in fact, in book two and off the record, they're actually in New York for a while. And I did get to have some fun with some of my favorite landmarks, just dropping references, in Manhattan, not Brooklyn. But the thing that set it in Nashville was an interesting one. Like I said, I had this vague notion of a woman moving home or needing to move somewhere like down south. Well, that's because where, like I said, that's where I'm from. But the idea is she had to leave her life and that she was bitter about it. Like she viewed New York as the pinnacle. You know, they say if you can make it here. So this idea of like her life crumbling, her going back and being bitter about it. But the funny part is that, you know, when I was growing up in Nashville, Nashville was all right, but it was nothing. I mean, other than the, you know, the country music scene, there was nothing that great about it. I spent most of my adolescence hanging out at the mall. You know, it was fairly boring. And me and one other friend of mine, we were always like basically hell bent on getting out and living somewhere big and exciting. And then it was almost like as soon as I moved away, Nashville became big and exciting. So I try not to take that personally. But no, just over the past several years, Nashville has just exploded and had this renaissance of just great cultural scene, great food, great music scenes of all genre. And it's just a really beautiful and very fun place to be. And so there was just something about that that I really wanted to honor in terms of my hometown. So it's sort of a hybrid between this idea of this woman who feels like she's really fallen far, but then also like the amazing thing that she gets to learn that she actually has come home to a beautiful place and that this could be her home and she can be happy and in love there and thrive. So yeah, that's, yeah, Nashville. The books are a bit of a love song to my hometown. And it's very interesting because if you could ask like 16-year-old me, I would be interested in that. I'd be like, no. But really, it has been very special to be able to incorporate all these places that I love so much and I still love to go and see. It's very cool.
Yeah, I love the book is set in Nashville. I think for me, it's something unique. I like traveling with books, like it's something exciting. And I love the idea that the city exploded after you left. Like there's something to be said about. There's a complete renaissance that happens after you leave. You're like, why did this
happen
when I was here, you know? So
that's beautiful.
I love it.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's a great place to go party. It's a great place to go be. I love it. I love going there. It's wonderful.
Yeah. So we have a hate to lover's trope in this novel. Celeste wants so Celeste wants to hate Ben because she wants a dog. So that's the part of it. But then Ben doesn't want him to hate Celeste. Like, he's like, I just want to help you and be your friend. I love the dynamic that was happening, that it was just like that it wasn't like this completely like I hate you because you're horrible. It's because I hate the situation we're in. So why was it important to have this as a character arc, like as a trope in the novel, as opposed to, you know, friends to lovers or second chance romance or, you know, all the other the fun tropes that are out there?
Because, okay, this is a great question. I've never really thought about it, but it is a great question. If Celeste had to battle, Celeste had to fight for her, to put her life back together. Her life had fallen apart. Everything that she had built, everything that she had defined as markers of success had all fallen away. And what she had not realized is that her self-worth had gone with them. And so at the time that she was betrayed by her ex-boyfriend and kind of life, she called it unraveling, she kept telling herself, I'm fine. And the truth was, she was crushed. And she didn't know the depth of her crushes. She knew she lost her job. She knew she needed to move back home. But like in terms of the soul work that she needed to do. So she needed to compete one more time, and it needed to be a hurdle that she felt like she had to cross and climb and win, because what she really had to learn is that she didn't have to fight. And so working with Ben and loving Benjamin was really her true challenge, and letting herself be open to the idea that somebody could look at her and say, you're wonderful, and you don't have to be this person with armor. You don't have to be the boss all the time. Like, you can just be you, and I'm going to look at you like you're the most amazing person. So as she's trying to hold on to this last bit of strength that I can do it, I've got it, it's together, I will win this, I can get this back together, everything is fine, she just had to learn that, like, that wasn't actually the battle at all. So that's why I think I went with that trope.
Yeah, I like the trope. I think it was just like, I think it made sense. Like, there were competing trope. And the way Celeste's story, like, her life was broken. Like, she was like completely falling apart and just trying to build them back together. And then realizing that the way she was trying to build them back together was not working. Like, that's not
right.
Like, you know, I think that her a different way.
Yeah, it is. And it is a bit of a spin on the enemies to lovers. I call it rivals to lovers, but it is because, you know, if we think about Beautiful Bastard, like, that's a fun, like, hate love. Like, you know, they hate each other and there's such so much like headbutting spark. And then if you think about The Hating Game or think about Faker, there's always that like fun spark of like, oh, these two people can't stand each other. And then they stand each other. But this one's a bit different because it's immediately not like opposites attract. It's more like they know they attract, but they can't. So it is a little bit of a spin on it, but I do love the hate to love trope, or the like resisting it. It's like, no, we don't like each other. I love that trope because, I don't know, it's just so much fun to write. But yeah.
Yeah, it's my favorite trope. Like, I seek those out. I love, you know, the whole universe. I love when they build on relationships and you're like, you're in a city watching it. You're like, they're watching bigger and bigger. And I just, and you know, you realize by book three, they're like together. Just like, we're going to get together, you know. I love that whole process of like, you know, the relationship builds on with a spark. It's like a spark that brings a relationship together.
Yes.
But I love the fact that this is a rivalry. Like, they were just competing for a job. Like, that's the conflict was competing for a job. It wasn't a conflict about their personality or the way he was or the way he looked. You know, it was just more like, we're competing for a job. And one of us, it's the Hunger Games. One of them is going to be the ultimate in your favor. So.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what can we expect about next book that came out?
Okay. So yeah. So Off the Record is out now and available. And I'm super excited about it because it is the story of Celeste's cousin slash Benjamin's friend, Nick. So Nick is this freewheeling guy and he's not about like big commitments or any of that. He just wants to work and he's a music audio engineer slash suddenly bumped up to producer at a music studio in Nashville. And he just likes taking it easy, playing some music, hanging out with his friends. And then he gets this job, gets a client who is this new pop star. And the pop star has won America's Talent competition, but he's the pop star at the moment. And he's come home to Nashville to record his debut album for the press and buzz. And unbeknownst to Nick, on Jesse's, that's the star's team, his media manager is Nick's high school love. Mm-hmm. So this one is a second chance romance. But suddenly freewheeling Nick Field is pulled into this world of a pop star where he's part of an entourage and he doesn't know what to do about it. And at the same time, too, he's falling hard again for the one woman who ever was able to catch his heart. So this is a second chance set in the shadow of a rock star. It's a rock star romance, but the rock star is not the main character. So yeah, that is the gist of book two. It is set in the summertime, and it picks up. And in that one, the summer after the events of Not Suitable for Work. Mm-hmm. So Celeste and Ben appear as friends, and they're a couple at that point. Mm-hmm. So yes, and that sort of continues the story of the anti-Bell world.
I love it. And what can we expect about Olivia's story?
Ah, yes. Okay, so book three is Olivia. And when you read Not Suitable for Work, you will meet Liv. No one ever forgets Liv. She has a very strong personality. Mm-hmm. Book three is called Nemesis. Mm-hmm. And we're going to call that one a hate to love. We're going to call that one a definite hate to love, but it's not a workplace. It's, Olivia is bold and sassy and very, very protective and loving of the people in her world. Mm-hmm. She is a strong lady and she doesn't take any crap. And she lives with her brother who is, a widower and her niece. And for the summer, her brother's best friend from college, Will, needs a place to stay because his apartment's being renovated. And Will and Liv do not get along at all. Mm. At all. So this is going to be a story of definite hate to love. These are two very strong characters, and there's a lot of spiciness between them. But Liv has a lot of hurdles to clear before she can claim her happily ever after.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. And that comes out in April, right?
That is scheduled to come out in April, yes.
Yay! That is very exciting. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We got this to look forward to.
I know. I'm so excited. I'm talking about Liv. I've been working so long to get books one and two out and thinking about bringing Liv out into the world. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. I'm so excited. So yeah, I'm very keen to have that one as well. But right now I'm very much enjoying having people tell me that they're enjoying first year. It's fantastic.
That's awesome. Yeah. So now let's go to a round of book recommendations. So this is an opportunity for you to share with our audience what they should read next. So what is your favorite genre?
Romance is definitely a top genre. I mean, I can tear through romance novels. Love it, love, love it. Super fun read, super great thing to read. Mm-hmm. I guess beyond that and outside of the romance genre, probably my favorite genre is either science fiction or dystopian fiction.
So the Hunger Games and, you know, dystopian Hunger Games and what that world?
Hunger Games is great fun, yes. If you want to get a little bit darker, Margaret Atwood is probably one of my favorite writers. I love Ursula Le Guin. I love, I love Frank Herbert's Dune. It's a great book. So yeah, that's definitely probably one of my top genres as well.
I love it. Who's your favorite author?
Well, in the romance genre or out?
The romance.
In romance, my favorite author, gosh, I can't pick one.
Well, you can pick a few. It's okay.
Okay. I would definitely pick Lucy Parker.
Yeah.
She is, I love her series, her, The London Celebrities. I think they're fantastic. I love Brenna Aubrey. I love her Gaming the System.
So good.
Yeah, I know. I love the girl geek thing. It's brilliant. Yes. Ember Casey, I love the Cunningham family. I love the way she does family books. That's great. Mm-hmm. How can I not mention Sarah Smith? Mm-hmm. Faker is a beautiful book. I am so excited for the world to meet her second book because I've had the honor of pre-reading it. I love Bella Andre. I think she's wonderful as well. I would say those are probably my tops. I'm currently reading It Starts With a Kiss by J.L. Peredo. She is one of my colleagues, one of my social media friends. So I'm super into that book again, talking about girl geek. This is a coder on a spaceship of story. So, yeah, it's super fun. Yeah, it's super fun.
That is super fun. I'm going to pick it up. Yeah. So what are your top three favorite books of all time?
Top three favorite books of all time. You're killing me. See, now what I'm having to do is I'm sitting and looking at my bookshelf. Because when people ask me that question, the answers immediately fly out of my head. I would say that my favorite books of all time, we could put The Color Purple. That's definitely one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I would say, The Hobbit? I do say The Hobbit. I'm going to say it's one of my favorite books of all time because it was a story my dad read to me when I was a child, like a bedtime story. So I will say The Hobbit for the fantasy genre. And I'll throw A Beautiful Bastard on there for the simple fact that it was my gateway and I've read it probably like six times. So that's a good one to like keep the genre. We'll keep it there. So if I have to pick three,
I love your list. So what has been the book that you read this year that you love?
A book that I read this year that I love? Well, I mean, I love, like I said, I'm loving It Starts With a Kiss. I'm nearly done with it now. Love Faker, although technically I didn't read it this year. A book that I'm really loving right now is Spiritual Rebel by Sarah Bowen. It is a nonfiction. It's a sort of philosophical book around modern spirituality, which I'm really enjoying. Yeah, that's great. And let's see. I'm very interested. I haven't read it yet, but this book by Nicole Mabry, Past This Point. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited about reading River by Rain Lipley. And I'm hoping I'm pronouncing her name right. I realize I should have asked that. But she is one of my great collaborators again, social media, and I'm super excited for her book. I will be taking that with me when I travel next week.
I love it. So tell us where you can find me online.
Where we can find it online?
Where can I find you online? Tell us where you can find
me online. Oh, you can find me online. Sorry. Yes. Oh, sure. So you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at writer Sky McD. So that's SKYE. You can also find me on BookBub and Goodreads and, of course, Amazon. I have my author profile page and a storefront where you can actually, like, buy stuff that's inspired by the Not Suitable for Work / Auntie Belle books. I am on Facebook, but probably not as much. And then, of course, my website where you can sign up for my newsletter and get all the inside scoop and bonus content and whatnot. That's skymcdonaldwrites.com.
I love it. Thank you, Sky, for being on the show.
Of course. I'm so glad to have been here, Laura. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Sky, for a great interview. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. We'll be back this Thursday with a great book recommendation show. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourneedsblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.